Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Harry Garside, welcome to the In My Spike podcast. It's a pleasure to have you, mate. How you doing?
Thanks for having me on, man. I'm doing good. I'm up in Sydney at the moment. It's going really smooth seeing my girlfriend who lives up in Bondi. So it's fucking spot on up here.
I've seen that. What's going on there? I've seen the beach, workouts, the romance. It's all happening on your side.
Man, it's all happening. I know. I actually met this girl. So I saw her twice before I went away for 3 months prior to the Olympics. So like we spoke for 95 days without seeing each other via FaceTime. And it was still like early. We saw each other twice. So we didn't know if it was a sure thing or not, but like we both committed to it. And then I was like, I have to come up in Sydney and just see her, you know what I mean? Because I'm originally from Melbourne and being up here, mate, and not turning back, not looking back. She could be the one. Who knows?
No one knows. We'll find out. Yeah. And how's the training set up, obviously, in Sydney now? You're originally based in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's going okay, mate. So the gym's open back up completely next week, I believe. So I'm pretty keen for like the gyms to open back up. Currently injured at the moment, so I can't do heaps of boxing. But we'll just be like lifting weights and doing. I love my running, mate, same as you. So I'll be doing heaps of running. I want to break. I've got some personal records I want to break by Christmas, and I'm a long way off them, so better get my ass into gear.
Yeah, I've been seeing your running on Instagram, and I think we can work something out there.
Yeah, bro, I need a running program. Yeah, are you doing training at the moment or not?
I'm just like you, just in quarantine, and I got myself a bike and just doing a bit of bike sessions and a bit of weights, basically just to keep sane in here.
Yeah,
nothing more than that. And once I get out, I think see the family, and then I'll get back into training.
Yeah,
that's all be sick. What I want to speak to you about, obviously, it's a lot. The Olympics, and just outside of track as well. There's so much that I want to speak to you about: mental health, resilience. You speak so much about it. But first of all, congratulations on the Olympics, making history, getting that bronze medal. It was awesome watching you. What's your reflection up on that?
It's been like, I actually said this on a podcast recently, but it's like, to be honest, once I lost that fight against Andy Cruz in the semifinal, I've honestly just felt a little bit numb, to be honest. Like, and I often do that, I'm not going to lie. I often run away from a lot of the stuff that goes on in my head. It's very active, you know what I mean? So I often just try and like distract myself until I'm able to focus on it. So I'm not going to lie, I haven't really sat back and really reflected and thought about it. To be honest, I was a bit disappointed in myself. Like we train for the best, you know what I mean? And of course I'm still happy and proud of the bronze, but we went there for the gold and I got unfinished business. So 2024, mate, let's hope we can change the result.
Yeah, and I loved your interview after that fight, because you didn't take anything away from the fighter, and you're so humble in that interview as well. And you said he was just a better fighter. So I guess my first question is, how are you going to become a better fighter?
Yeah, 100%, man. And props to Andy Cruz Gomez. He's an absolute superstar. I was just honored to share the ring. Like, I don't know who the best runner in your race is, but like he is pound for pound one of the best. And I've always wanted to fight him, and I finally had the opportunity to fight him. So he was just too good. But I think there were some things in that fight, like looking back, that were working. There was obviously a lot that wasn't working, but there was definitely a few things that were working, like being a little bit tricky, making him lead off. And I think the biggest thing, though, is that, of course, we can improve our technique and become a better boxer. But I think the belief, I lost that fight before I even got in the ring. So, and that's something that I'm pretty disappointed with. I work a lot on visualization and self-belief and self-confidence, but I think it was generally like David versus Goliath in that fight. And I honestly went in there thinking that. So it was almost like I beat myself before I even got in there. And over the next 3 years, that's something that I'm going to try and work on just to prove, hey, I am on his level. I mean, that's the belief you've got to have, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the same. It's the same thing with me. And even coming fourth at the Olympics, and I was just like, you know, there was no excuses. I knew those guys were better at that time. So the only solution is kind of to work on it. But I guess that takes me to the next question, which is the resilience part. As you said before, sometimes I used to lose races and just not rock up to training for like ages, or lose major championships and I wouldn't rock up to training for like a month. How do you work through that resilience?
Yeah.
And being able to bounce back so quick.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, everyone handles defeat and loss differently. So I failed so much growing up, man, like heaps. And I think like early on, like I never won. So like if I lost, even if I won, to be honest, but if I lost, I'd be back in the gym the next day. And like my coach would be saying, even after a win, he'd be like, man, take the day off. I'm like, nah, I'm not happy with that performance. And I was doing that when I was 12, 13, 14, 15. So yeah, that's just something that I love what I do and I love training and regardless of success or competition, I honestly just do it because I love being in the gym. I love being in that environment. So like I love training and I love working out and pushing myself in that sense. So building, getting through resilience, to be honest, it actually is kind of easy. And there's like this element of like, I don't know if it's the same for you, but like boxing is my identity. You know what I mean? So people like often just talk to you about boxing. So if you're not doing boxing, and almost there's almost like an element of like, I personally may feel like I don't have much depth then. When I know I do, but like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that's my identity. So I often just do it because that's all I know, to be honest.
Yeah, and just before this podcast, you're saying, you know, you're doing so much training because you need it. Otherwise, you kind of go insane. And I've been feeling that in here, like the first 5 days, I was like, man, I'm on break. I don't really need to do any training. And then you just kind of get really lazy. And then as soon as you start doing that training, you get confidence, you start growing. And is that kind of similar for you?
100%, man. I think any high performance athlete, but like even ordinary people, man, they're like, they like physical exercise is just something that we have to, it's like almost like a non-negotiable. And I do understand there is people out there who population. If they did exercise on a regular basis, they would be in such a better headspace. They'll be a lot clearer, don't like it or don't enjoy it or don't feel the positive benefits from it. But like, I do believe 85, if not higher, of the percent of the population, they'll be able to make better decisions. They'll have a bit more self-confidence, self-love, a bit more compassion towards themselves. And I don't know, I just love pushing myself in that world. And I often notice I'm disorientated and disorganized, or very disorganized when I'm not training. So I hate not training.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, especially the mental well-being. It's physical activity helps a lot. And especially during the lockdowns, so many people have been going through it, as we see in Melbourne and Sydney at the moment. What other advice, I guess, can you give to the rest of the people to improve mental well-being?
Yeah, I think I know I went through the Melbourne lockdown last year. So obviously I'm in Sydney at the moment and Sydney is going through I'm not going to lie, Bondi is very relaxed compared to Melbourne.
I've seen.
Melbourne last year. I honestly couldn't believe it. I rocked up. I'm like, whoa, no one cares about COVID here. But yeah, Melbourne last year was pretty heavy, man, not going to lie. And what I worked out, like for me, was just finding out the things that I could control that make me happy. So like last year, every day I could go outside and see my dog. So I would go outside and spend 30 minutes just sitting on my step with my dog and just looking out at the world. I'd be patting my dog, makes me happy. Obviously last year we could do an hour of exercise. So going out in nature, always running. I live in a beautiful place in Victoria. It's that kind of country. So just getting out in nature, either going for a walk, going for a run. Always just loved getting fresh air in the lungs and stuff like that. And these are things that I could do last year that were in my control. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it feels like you're losing a bit of control with the lockdowns, I think. And a lot of people feel like they're losing a bit of control. But like, just like finding the things that make you happy that you can do at home and do them. Set aside time every single day and make sure you do them because you need to take care of yourself in a time like this, I think.
Yeah. And I see that you obviously create really good habits and I credit much of my success to my support team, the habits that I've created. And I see that you've got 7 national championships. which is takes a lot of consistency both in training and outside of training. Just share a little bit of those habits that you share.
Yeah, I think it's just like for me, as I mentioned before, there's that form of that identity. So for me, it's just like I love what I do. I've formed such a habit that if I'm home on a Monday to Friday at 5:30 watching Deal or No Deal on TV, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I go insane because training for me is always 4:30 till 6:30, 7 o'clock. Monday to Friday. Yeah. And I'm like, if I like say if training like public holidays, I'm like that, I'm like, oh, this sucks. So I think it's just like consistency, persistency, and eventually it just becomes habit and the norm. So it's like it's just like most people's body clock, let's say. So most people's body clock may wake them up at 7 a.m. or just before, give or take 10 minutes, right? It's like it's like the more you do something, the more it just becomes a habit, you know what I mean? And and you've got to obviously find that thing, that exercise that you enjoy. But for me, like I've just formed such a habit, done it for so long that if I'm not doing it, I hate it. But also meditation, like writing my journal, grateful, stuff like that, things I'm grateful for, things I'm looking forward to the next day. Also like love and thrive off social connection, which is a little bit hard for people at the moment due to lockdowns. But when everything's back to normal, I think getting out and seeing your friends and really telling, like I had a discussion with my best mate who's up in Sydney with me and told him I loved him. You know what I mean? Because I think as males it's a little bit different, and me and my family, the way it was role modeled to me, like we don't really tell each other we love each other, which is weird. Like the people we love the most, we don't tell. And I just remember I had a few beers and I was just thinking, man, I've never told. I've been best mate. I've been best mate since we were five. I'm like, I've never told you I love you. I'm like, I love you, man. And he's like, he was looking at me. He's like, what the fuck? but yeah, like just like social connection, stuff like that. Really getting around the people that make you feel good and the people you love and adore, don't you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. And I love that because your habits are so much outside of the boxing ring. Because, I mean, what happens if you do get injured and you got all these habits and you can't do it anymore? So then you can kind of take your focus outside of the ring.
I think a massive thing as well, like for me, before the lockdown last year or just it was about March last year, I just remember thinking all my social media, not all of it, but like a lot of it was just negative. Like the media, I was just following a lot of pages that were just like, what is going on? Like it was just negative, negative, negative. And I just remember in March 2020, I just went through and just unfollowed heaps of them, just got rid of heaps of them. Unfollowed all the news outlets, all the people or things that make me unhappy or make me feel a little bit more negative, and started following. And the more you interact with positive accounts on your social media, the more that you're just going to see positive accounts. So things that lift you up and being really conscious about what you're putting and absorbing in your brain, I think. And that's something that I absolutely like admire about myself. Like I don't see any negative stuff. That's why I think I'm always just positive.
Yeah, you consume positive stuff. And what type of, I guess, what accounts do you follow that
are positive? So there's like a lot about, my girlfriend sends me a lot about relationships, Estelle Perel, Gabor Mate, DR Khan, who's an unbelievable lady. There's heaps of like, if you look up like millennial like mindset and stuff like that, there's heaps of stuff about mindset. You can even just look them up. If anyone who listens to this, message me on Instagram and I'll send them to you.
You might have to send them to me.
100%, man. There's heaps of things on there. Even like if you don't like mindset, if you're not all about that positivity, just like most people like dogs or just look at dogs. You got dog accounts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, 100%. And then I guess another one is your support team. I credit so much of my success to my support team, not just, you know, not just the high performance, but also to keep me sane. And when I'm going through things, I can kind of reach out to them. And I kind of figured out a way to create a good support team everywhere I go, because my sport, I'm in Melbourne 6 months of the year, in Europe 4 months of the year, and then I'm in Perth, whatever. So it's really important for me to kind of set that support team. I guess who's in your support team? Like, you obviously have your coach. Do you use a sports psychologist, nutritionist, or what does it look like for a boxer?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love that. I love it. We have a very similar mindset and I love that. for sure, like that's the thing. Often the people who do almost just as much, if not more work than you, don't get the credit. Like what we do is easy, man. I honestly think about it. Like I literally just, when I'm in camp, I wake up and I just go to training. As long as I'm putting my foot to the floor and trying my hardest, everyone else is doing everything for me almost. It feels like that. So I'm grateful. I've got S&C coach, Amy Crook. I've got obviously my boxing coaches, Brian Livia, Kevin Smith. Then obviously got my family, my mum and dad. My mum is like my absolute rock, always calling me. That's your, hey, I know that bell. I know that bell. That's your meal.
That is my meal.
Yeah, my mum is, that's always traumatizing, that bell, to be honest. yeah, my mom, she's an absolute superstar, man. Like, yeah, always been like my number one supporter, and always supported me and backed me. My dad as well is super, super powerful, man. And obviously all my friends and family. I'm very grateful that I've got like the amount of people, and even people in the boxing world. I think having people who are in your sport who kind of understand what you're going through. A lot of my friends that I grew up with, man, or even family sometimes don't fully understand. I don't expect them to understand. I don't understand their world. So, yeah, I think having people in the boxing world, Jason Whateley, who's one of my best mates, heaps of Caitlin Parker and stuff like that. These are people who are really close to me, Justice Winnie. So people who are on this similar journey, obviously facing their own things, but you can bounce things off. You can share things with them, talk to them, ask them how they're going. I think it's really important to have people like that in your team as well.
Yeah, and do you use a sports psychologist?
Actually, don't, man. Nah, I don't. So I do a lot of Ben Crow. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ben Crow. He's Ash Barty's. He's an absolute superstar. So I have contact with him. I've got his app, which is powerful. I listen to a lot of podcasts. So a lot of my mindset, to be honest, is like, you know, seminars that they do at like the Australian Institute of Sport or WAIS or stuff like that, where past Olympic medalists or past athletes come in and talk, and I love that stuff. Honestly, going there, I'm just like writing notes. I'm like, yeah, I do a lot of my own stuff, and I'm working that out, navigating that myself, and I'm definitely not perfect, man. I fuck up heaps for sure.
So I like that. And I guess another question for me would have to be the training, because I mean, as a track athlete, we train about, I mean, 6 times a week, but everyone thinks it's just running. But really, I do 2 gym sessions a week, 1 Pilates session a week. I do like 2 or 3 easy runs a week, and then 1 session. What does your training kind of look like in a week?
Yeah, as is pretty hectic, man. For a competition that goes for 9 minutes, we train 3 times a day. So we'll wake up in the morning, do a cardio session, mostly running, rower, bike, swimming. And then at 11 o'clock we do strength and conditioning, whether it be lifting heavy depending on how far we are out from comp, or doing like a circuit, and then always at 4:30 boxing. So that would involve pads, sparring, technique and stuff like that. So it's pretty busy. That's Monday to Friday, and then on Saturday we'll be doing either sparring, like specific sparring, or a strength and conditioning session. And then Sunday's off. So it's fairly, fairly heavy, man. But like, I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned is just like making sure my sleep, I'm getting 9 hours of sleep a night when I'm in those training blocks. I go to bed at like 9 o'clock, man. And then drinking heaps of water. So like topping up 5 liters, especially when you're training 3 times a day, if not more. And then as well, eating the right food for my body. So they're the 3 things that I just always try and focus on to make sure that I'm ready for each session.
Yeah. Do you find then sometimes it's hard to balance that between, I guess, that family, social life, now girlfriend?
Yeah. So I'm the type of person, I have like one headlight, like, to be honest, and it's a blessing and a curse. And I think my family have got used to it, but like there'll be times that I'll just be like, I honestly, anything, all my problems or family, I'm just focusing on this goal, and you guys can either be there at the end or like that's not, and it's like, I know they're always going to be there because my family, but
yeah,
it's kind of, for me, I feel like that's a mindset that we need to have in boxing and in our sport, because we're competing with people who come from humble beginnings. We're competing with people. A lot of the successful nations come from Cuba, all these third world countries, and they're fighting for different reasons. They're fighting. They're yeah, fighting for a better life. They're fighting for food. They're fighting for food for their family. What am I fighting for? I'm fighting because I like the sport. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's completely different. So we need to make sure, for I think, that our obsession and our focus is just 100% on the job. And I don't have many distractions in that time for sure, if any.
Yeah, which is then leads right to the next question. It's this idea of achieving excellence can get a bit lonely because, I mean, you just have to, you know, just give so much time to it, which is tough at the same time because, you know, sometimes I'll be similar to you. I'd be in Europe and like, man, I want to be home, but I understand it's necessary to be here at this time and I just need to be here to perform at my best. But I guess some of the ways, you know, I dealt with it over time was one was experience. I had to kind of get used to it. The first few years, man, I just like everyone would be like seeing and it's like, man, this guy loving life in Europe and stuff. It's like, well, it's not really like that. But then now it's like a lot more different. That experience is so much important part of the game, right? So one, do you believe like, I guess, achieving excellence does require, you know, for you to be lonely at a lot of times?
Yeah, for sure. There's this awesome book. If you haven't read it, Relentless by Tim Grover. He was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I read that book.
Hectic.
Yeah.
Anyone who listens to this and you're an athlete, please listen to that book because prior to reading that book, I often felt a lot of my mindset traits were bad. Like I kind of got shamed by my family sometimes or by friends, you know what I mean? Like they're like, oh, mate, honestly, have a beer or like, come on, like one beer won't hurt or like that mindset. And it's just like, Will, like if I break my mindset, then if I break it now, I'm going to break it in the ring. That's my mindset. So once I listened to that book, Relentless by Tim Grover, like it made me feel like a lot of my mindset traits weren't that bad and I wasn't the only one. Like, And I was like, it's lonely, man. It is. And a lot of people see maybe us traveling the world or sometimes success or, but like they don't see the nights that we're by ourselves and all you guys, the weekends that we're staying in, the mornings we're waking up early, like they don't see that shit. And I love my life and I love what I do, but like it gets lonely at 100%. And I've sacrificed and made choices and I've cut people out of my life that I love and adore in search of this dream. As I mentioned, mate, I think I'm becoming a lot better at like not just doing it myself. I'm coming a lot better at like bringing my family, my friends and say partners with me. I used to just be like, nah, like piss off. Don't, this is mine. But like now I'm a lot more mature. Like there was this book I read and it was this, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was like, it's like, instead of holding on to your dream, like it's your dream, bring all your family and friends with you because you could inspire them to do something special with their life. You know what I mean? So it's like by bringing my family, my friends and my partners and bringing them all with me, you know what I mean? It could hopefully inspire them to make a different decision in their life or to look at things differently potentially. So that's the mindset that I have now and I'm so happy that I have that mindset.
Yeah, I love that. And usually when I go back to Perth and sometimes the only time I can spend with the boys, I say, mate, just rock up to training. And some of them started getting pretty fit and they actually started enjoying it. So I'm all for that. For sure.
100%. I think as well, like I've just learned to realize like I've got people in my life now that are like, they support what I'm doing. You know what I mean? They're lifting me up and my partner, she understands it. She doesn't need me to be messaging her all the time or to constantly be like, you know what I mean? So I'm grateful for that. Like she understands that this is the focus that I have to have when I'm in camp. And I've just got people like that around me. My family understand if I lose, like don't message me for a couple of days. I'll be fine. But like, just give me a bit of space.
we're so much alike, mate. And one of the things you speak, I listen to Dylan Friends and amazing podcast you were on. And I think you spoke about family and you spoke about your brothers. And I was like, man, we're so similar because growing up, you have friends going through a lot and my brother's going through a lot. And I could never kind of take that away off the track. So it impacted me running quite a lot because I was like, man, I want to be there for my family, be there with my brothers. But like, what do you do? And the only solution was that I had to just go and be myself and be better myself so I can come back and kind of help them, which is you spoke a bit about that too.
Yeah.
How did you deal with all of that? I mean, you're following this dream and then you have some family members that might be going through it. It's like, man, am I selfish for just kind of following my own dream and not being there with them?
Yeah, it's a tough battle, man. And I can hear it in your voice. Like we are the exact same when we think about it. Like it breaks my heart, man. Family, obviously my brother's going through mental health issues, drug addiction in and out of prison, and he's really struggling, man. But then there's also in my area, I grew up in like a bit of a smaller town on the outskirts of the Melbourne suburbs, and like friends that I grew up with, like they're going through the exact same thing as well, you know what I mean, like drug addiction or mental health issues and stuff like that. And it sucks because you love, you adore, and you care for them. And more so as well, like my brother specifically, seeing what he's doing to my mum, he can't help it. But like, and of course my dad, but seeing what he's doing to my parents, like it breaks my heart, man, honestly. And it's like, if I could honestly have a wish, it would be nothing related to boxing. It would be for my brother to be like happy and to be, you know, being safe and to be in a good position again, you know what I mean? And it's like the element of, like, as I mentioned before, I run away from a lot of my problems, and he's definitely one of my problems. It's something that I can't control. Like, there is not, like, what I've realized, it's like the things that you can't control, and if you try and control them, that's where you get worked up and that's where you start getting unhappy. You know, so I realized that, and I'm like, I can't control what he does. I can just try my hardest to live a good life, and hopefully maybe he might look at that and go, hey, if my brother can do it, I can do it. We come from the same cloth, and always try my best, always messaging me out of the blue and say, hey, I love you. Don't get much replies, but I know he'll look at that, and as long as he knows that I'm always there, then that's all I think I can do.
Yeah, that's awesome advice, and it's the same way I kind of dealt with it, is try to control what you can control and be there when you can, and it's the most you can really do. Mm-hmm. Another idea we kind of discuss here is this idea of intent. You know, when you rock up to training, or with anything for that matter, you can rock up and just do training for the sake of it. And then there's, when you do it with intent, you get so much more out of it. I guess, do you implement that in your training? Like, when you rock up to training, is it, I know what I'm doing, I know what's for, and I know what I'm getting out of this, or just, you just rock up?
Definitely don't just rock up. I think for me, especially when I'm deep in a training block, so obviously there's technical things that I'll focus on each week. So I'll set myself on a Sunday, I'll set myself an intention for that week about technique, what I'm focusing on, making sure each session, especially boxing, I'm going through that and just like really honing in on that technique. But then also mindset, like understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why am I doing what I'm doing? For me, there's like fulfilling a childhood dream, proving to people who thought I couldn't do shit growing up, teachers, family members, some people who have said some stuff to me growing up, that I can do what I've set out to do, and proving myself right. And also as well, like making my mum and my dad proud. I often felt like they copped a bit of stick growing up from a lot of people and stuff like that. And it makes me so happy when mum calls me and she goes, I was just down at the local shops and this so-and-so was asking me, how you been going? And I'm like, that makes me so fucking happy. It makes me so proud, because I know how proud they would be in that moment, and especially with what my brother's going through. So there's numerous things as to why I do it. I write these down in a mirror. I always live in different hotel rooms and stuff like that. I take them with me. Write them down in mirrors and stuff like that. Like, I am enough. I am worthy of love. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm enough. You know, like all these positive things and my goals, things people have said to me and stuff like that. And I really think looking at that, it really does help me for sure.
Yeah, I love how you write it down, because one of the things, the habits I got into pretty early was writing my goals down, because I figured if you have a goal, you're kind of pretty excited about it, and you can be excited about it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But if you don't have it written down, you kind of forget within a month and then kind of disappears. And I read that you had, you know, photos of Ian Thorpe, and you had all these photos of your idols up as well, and which is really important. And then I guess another question was, obviously the Olympics was a big year, and, you know, it's during COVID, there's a lot of restrictions. My experience was a little bit different maybe, but I want to know about your experience, because I felt like the Australian team, due to COVID, I don't know if it's due to COVID or everyone was just so close together. Because, I mean, you couldn't do much. I remember everyone was sitting there watching your fight. Like, I mean, we just all sitting down. And I don't know, if it wasn't for COVID, everyone would be interacting with other athletes or what. And I felt like there was really close culture, and everyone was just kind of supportive of everyone's events, but at the same time focusing their own. And like that's how everyone kind of get to know each other as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was your experience on that?
I absolutely loved it, man. I actually said the exact same thing. I think because we couldn't socialize with other teams like that much, or we couldn't go to other sports, like it really made the Australian headquarters like a really special environment. Like
yeah.
That night when the Boomers won their bronze medal, like them coming back in, I just remember cheering, like I was up and about, like can't dance with shit, but I was moving hard that night. Like watching Jess Fox win that, win that gold medal. There were so many moments. I was like, man, this is special. So very grateful to be a part of it. Obviously, never been to an Olympics before, so I have no idea what it would have been like. Went to the Comm Games, but I was kind of locked in my room at the Comm Games. I'm just the type of person, I focus on what I'm doing. And while I'm in comp, like I didn't go to the opening ceremony at the Commonwealth Games. I just focused on what I was doing. And my first fight was on the first day, and then my last fight was on the second last day of the Commonwealth Games. So like I didn't do much at all. I just like locked myself in my room, went to the sauna.
I guess it would have been really the same whether the Olympics was normal or not.
Yeah, 100%. I just locked myself in my room like, oh, this is boring.
And how about the coffee? Did you drink coffee? How good was the coffee machine?
I was going so hard. I was like doing like double shot espresso because I couldn't eat obviously because of boxing's a making weight sport, and that's a diuretic. I was just going to the coffee shop. I was like, boys, load me up.
No, those boys are definitely the highlight of the team, having a whole barista.
Yeah, mate, they were the backbone to the Australian team.
I guess that did you get to celebrate a little bit? Did you go to the closing ceremony? Were you there at the end?
Yeah, so I was lucky. My last fight was on the second last day, and I obviously had two nights in to relax, watch the Boomers play. It was nice and relaxed. Watch Nicola McDermott. Oh man, what a superstar she is. Moments like, so I actually got to relax and have like a normal Olympic experience the last couple of days, and went to the closing ceremony, which was pretty cool. So did you go?
No, I was already in Europe by then.
No shit.
You should have been at the Boomers game with me. I went to the Boomers game, but I think you still had some fights to go.
Yeah, so I had the medal ceremony the next day as well, and I remember having a few beers that night. I was pretty blind, and I remember waking up the next day, holy shit. Hadn't drank in like 6 months, and I was like, wow, this is why I don't drink.
I guess that after a big championship like that, how do you come down from it? You've got to kind of celebrate, and you've got to just kind of switch off, right?
Mm. Yeah, so I've just been, as I mentioned, I'm up in Sydney at the moment. Had a good couple of weeks back home in Melbourne. It was in a severe lockdown, so I couldn't do heaps, but saw a couple of people and stuff like that. Being up in Sydney with my partner, which is unreal, and my best mate drove up here from Melbourne, so it's good to have him up here as well. So it's just me, him, and my partner. So I'm loving it, man. I'm relaxing, doing a lot of training, just sort of like trying to take care of myself at the moment, because naturally coming off, I've trained for 15 years for this one moment, and it's just, yeah. Just done, like just like that, like it's over. It was weird, man. I'm like, fuck, I'm putting all the time and effort into that. Just finished. But yeah, like I'm just sort of trying to take care of myself, and it's pretty annoying having a hand injury. Like I would love to go surfing. The surf here is really good, but I've got another couple of weeks in this before I can go surfing. But it's going well, man. I'm just enjoying the time with my partner. It's going really well, and it seems very promising, which is good.
I guess then what's next? You turn pro, or there's a fight coming up, or what's next for you?
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure about. So there is the potential to turn pro. We have the ability now to turn pro and still go to the Commonwealth Games and Olympics. Not too sure about the Commonwealth Games next year. Already like done that and was on home soil. I don't really want to play around with that experience. Like the experience of that was unreal. Won the gold medal on home soil, fantastic. Like, don't have unfinished business there. I feel like for the Olympics, I still have unfinished business. So I'm definitely sort of still honing in on 2024, but I think now turning pro would be the next best move. Haven't signed anything yet, but definitely looking towards doing that for sure.
Yeah, and I guess my bad. I forgot about the Comm Games. That was massive. Obviously, home crowd as well, winning that. I guess, how was that experience, you know? Getting that gold medal right at home, that'd be unreal. And Commonwealth Games, they did so well. I was injured during the Commonwealth Games, so I was just watching it from the TV and just like, man, it's like some of the best games.
Yeah.
And I said if the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games ever come to Australia, because Australia is a sports culture, you know, everyone can't get around it. And it was in Queensland. It's just sick to see. I guess, how was your experience on the boxing? Obviously, you won. How was that winning in front of home?
Yeah, it's unreal. First of all, did you see that Perth potentially pushing for 2026 Commonwealth Games? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a fake news article. You know, that wants to go around. I'm like, damn. if that's the case, man, that's hectic. Like, doing it on home soil was unbelievable. Friends, family were there, and it was like, I was 20 at the time, so it was so special to like run to my mates. I remember there's a photo, I'll send it to you after this, it's a piss out. A photo I run to the boys straight after winning, and the boys like, yeah, they're like pouring beer all over my head. I'm like, fuck, we're on national TV, you idiot. But yeah, like doing that whole experience, obviously being so young, like you're so young and naive, and then to achieve something like that, for me, that was the moment that I like really believed I could do something in the Olympics. Like Commonwealth Games, there's some really good countries in boxing in the Commonwealth Games. So to win a gold medal there, I was like, okay, like maybe I could do this. And then I started honing in more on my mindset and my capabilities, and trained really hard over the next 3 years leading up until the Tokyo Olympics for sure.
Dope. And then one of my final questions, I guess, it's the balance aspect of things, because you're a plumber by trade and obviously training. Most people think you got to kind of do one thing, whether it's you're studying, but I think you can kind of balance everything together. And I mean, how do you balance everything so well?
I think it's like the mindset for me has always just been like prioritization, realizing what is the most important thing. So like boxing for me has always been at the top of the list. And it's like the mindset for me, just realizing that boxing, we get no money, amateur boxing, we get no money. So like my mindset has always just been, if it works for boxing, it works for me. And I was just trying to look for a job that gave me the flexibility, gave me the time that I could really focus, having still being the number one priority boxing, really focus on my boxing. And luckily I found a job plumbing. So I now work for my brother when I'm back in Melbourne, who's a plumber. I do 3 days a week with him. He gives me time off to go do my strength conditioning midday, which is the best. But I also go back straight back to work and help him out and stuff like that. So just really finding the things that, like, there is jobs out there. Whatever your passion is or whatever your goal is, just, like, really coning out that is it. If you don't get paid doing it, then find a job that caters for you to do that, whatever it may be. And, like, that's the thing. I have the mindset. I would honestly pack boxes. I would clean toilets. I would do anything to ensure I could still box, simple as that. And I think
just gotta humble yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, I don't care. I'll make money. However I make money, I'll make money. I need to start an OnlyFans or something.
Oh man. I guess, man, thank you so much for your time. This was awesome chat. I had so much fun, and I guess the next thing is we gotta train together, man.
Oh,
I can't wait. Can't wait to do that. A bit of boxing, a bit of running, mix it up.
100%. We should do it all at once. Boxing and running at once.
It'd be sick. Let's go.
No, 100%, man. I can't wait. And as I said, we're both Melbourne-based, so I'm pretty keen to it. We'll get stuck into some training for sure. But thanks, James, for having me on, man.
No, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.